Hello, everyone. This is the second part of the little study. I just titled it, Let's Go On Unto Perfection. It was about growing up. So if we just pray, if that's all right. Father, Lord, I just commit this word to you. I just thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your mercy, all your grace, your great love for us, Lord, and this so great salvation. Father, I ask, please, Lord, that you would just reveal your glory, Lord, in your word, and that you would change us within, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that everything is in going according to your plan. And I just pray, Father, for all the needs, if there's any sick or any needs, Father, please, that you would, Lord, according to your will, Lord, you just love to heal and restore and to move in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you would move in power, Lord, in every single situation, Father, in the name of Jesus. A very quick recap. Last time, if you remember, we looked at John 17 and we saw that shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, the Lord, he prayed for all those who would afterwards believe on him. And we saw there that oneness in him and in the Father was his prayer for us. This is what everything was for. That God's family is expanding. Remember, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's in Hebrews 2, 10 to 12. He says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And that's quite significant, you know, where it says, I'll declare your name to my brethren. In John 17, if you remember, we looked at that, and it says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So with oneness being the desired result, scripture tells us we're being built up together in love. And then we looked at Paul, who said that it's through the gifts and the ministries that the Holy Spirit's bringing this about through the gospel. And not to forget that nothing's wrong. You know, we're saved, having believed on the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And we've been placed in Christ, and it's in him that we're growing up into a perfect man. Because being perfected has that ring about it, doesn't it? So something's not right. But that's not the case at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Everything's going to plan perfectly. And the word perfect or perfected is teleos. And it just simply means finished. That's the finished thing. And it also means mature. And from scripture, regarding the church, it's used in this context of come into maturity. So as members of the body of Christ, through the gifts and the ministries, we're growing up into him in all things. That's the way scripture describes it, into a perfect or mature man. God sees the whole church, the whole body of Christ, with the Lord Jesus as the head and us as his body, as a perfect man. By the way, if anyone's new, not to worry if things seem to go in one ear and out the other. Everyone will agree, I'm sure, that we all get what we need. And sometimes it may be just one thing that stands out, but to go with that. In fact, when I was preparing this and thinking about it, and I'm not saying this is the Lord, but I had a picture in mind that made me smile. It was a toddler at mealtimes, and now most of the food is smeared all over the place, over the face, the table, the floor, and the dog's wagging his tail in anticipation, you know. But the thing is, we get what we need, and look, we all made it. We're here. So in Ephesians 4:11 to 16, Paul explains how we're growing up in Christ. We looked at this, and he says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that simply means building up, that word edifying. Until we all come, that means until we all come unto the unity of the faith, and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. And it's definitely a process. We see what the Holy Spirit's been doing over the last 2,000 years through the gifts and the ministries. And Paul goes on to say, it's quite plain. He says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So it's really clear. And if you remember, we looked at speaking the truth in love, the truth being the word of the truth, the full gospel that Paul preached concerning the Lord Jesus and his finished work, and how it's through the preaching and teaching, in our praise and thanksgiving, through speaking the truth in love, that we grow, having believed it, of course. So in this little study, there's just two things really that I want to get across that really blessed me concerning this oneness that the Lord desires for us. And everything was in John 17. But these two things will cause us to grow up in all things into him. The first we've already looked at, and that's about being established in the truth. And you know the scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word means transfigured, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's will for us is that oneness, and we're transfigured. We just like Moses, he didn't know his face shone. And within us, we can't see the transformation taking place, but it says, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's the finished work of Christ that we enter by faith. And it's spoken of in scripture as entering his rest. Not a case of, if we believe it, then we can make it happen. It's done. The Lord represented us all at the cross, and through faith, we own it. We possess it. The Holy Spirit is now within, and he enlightens the eyes of our hearts through the gospel to see and appreciate all that's ours in Christ. So, you know, it makes good sense to immerse ourselves actually in good preaching and good teaching, because faith comes by hearing. So if we're hearing, we've placed ourselves in a good position. And the second thing is of knowing our Father through the gospel. And this is what I want to look at on this part. This really blessed me, this one. Nothing difficult in either of them. It all comes back to the gospel. That his name or his nature is so closely linked to his glory. I'm hoping you'll see that. And that beholding the glory of the Lord through the gospel is about seeing the love of God in Christ and all he's done for us. That this is how we're built up in love. And it's what I want to focus on this time, because everything, the Lord Jesus being sent to save us, all he's done for us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness, our place in Christ, the outpouring of abundant grace, everything has come from love. For God so loved that he gave. So the gospel is my go-to place in order to know my Father. and to believe in that deep love that he has for us. And it's in seeing and acknowledging the love of God in Christ that we're being changed from glory to glory into the same image. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So these two things, and they're both centered on the gospel. It's our place in Christ through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus and being rooted and grounded in the love of God, which again is revealed in the Lord Jesus and his finished work. So it's at this point, and thinking on these things, that I happen to look again at what Paul said in his letter to the church in Corinth. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, as transfigured, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It was this part, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. Now, the mirror we looked at last time is the gospel that he preached. But it begs the question, what do we see when the good news of Jesus is preached? And it struck me, we see the love of God revealed in the Lord Jesus and all he's done for us. For God so loved that he gave. And again, can't remember where it says this, but it says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading for us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And you can see the Lord's heart there. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, it's at this point that lots of things opened up. And it's difficult to know where to go first, really. There's so many different paths to take. But I just want to kind of put some sort of order to them. For instance, the word transformed is metamorpho. And it really does mean a complete change. And in the verse we looked at earlier, you know, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's more metamorpho. And this word only occurs four times. Two of those are when the Lord was transfigured on the mount. The other two refer to us, and we've looked at them both. But be transfigured by the renewing of our minds. And the other one, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transfigured into the same image from glory to glory. Now, the translators, for some reason, they chose to put transfigured for the Lord and transformed for us. But don't be cheated. It's the same word. In our inner man, we can't see it, but it's happening. So just to look again, by the renewing of your minds and beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So beholding as in a mirror, that's the gospel, the glory of the Lord. What does it mean? What does that mean? What am I seeing in the gospel? I'm seeing the incredible love of God in Christ. Now, I'm sure there's more to this besides, but essentially, God's name is very person and character, and his glory appear to be almost one in the same. And hopefully this will become clearer as go on and begin to see a connection between the glory of the Lord and his name, his nature, which of course is all about love. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So if I was to say faith that works by love, perhaps like me, you'll begin to see that it's those two components that will see us grow as individuals and as the body of Christ, seeing everything through the lens of God's love for us. Realizing that everything he's done for us and promised is born out of love, not about my strengths or failings. It's about his love and his grace from start to finish. You know, the Apostle John, he had a deep awareness of the Lord's love for him, didn't he? And he wrote in one of his letters about this, saying, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." It's something we need to believe, you know? And God is love, he says, "and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." A suddenly flood of thoughts. The Lord Jesus, for instance, saying to Philip, "Have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." And do you remember the last two verses of John 17? Right there at the end of his prayer, which was all about oneness, if you remember, the key verses regarding our being built up together in love and the oneness that he intends for us. It's verses 25 and 26. You begin to see the threads coming together, and it's all in John 17, all of it in his prayer for us. He says, "O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you." That's significant. "I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I've declared to them your name." That's significant. "And will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." So we know that a name scripturally equates to the person's nature, their character, what they're really like. And note that it says, "I've declared to them your name, that." This is the reason why they need to know who you are, Father, what you're really like, in order that the love wherewith you love me be in them and I in them. And it was that verse in particular that stood out, that knowing our Father's character, his nature, will have a profound impact on us, changing us into the same image, in effect. And God, our Father, is love. And this is our built up in love. It's through the gospel, through seeing our Father's love, great love in the Lord Jesus and everything he's done for us. So while the love of God is the heart of the gospel, at first our idea of him can be quite blinkered, and consequently there's fears and worries that we have in our hearts. But this is the thing: the glory of the Lord, what he's really like, is so wonderful, far beyond anything we can imagine. And it's this that he encourages to keep in view: the so great love that initiated this so great salvation. Now, albeit it's dimly at the moment, but to behold his love revealed in the gospel, the mirror. And as we do this, a great work takes place. We can't see it, but it's taking place. All worries and fears be swept away and replaced with the love of God. Peace and confidence instead of concern and uncertainty. You know, even Peter, if you remember, he boasted of his love for the Lord, saying that if everyone forsook the Lord Jesus, they would stick with him. But he ended up denying him with cursing and swearing. And you know the story on the seashore after Jesus' resurrection, where the Lord three times said to him, "Do you love agape me more than these, Peter?" And his reply was, "You know I love filio, you Lord. I love you like a brother." And here he is, inwardly, you know, clearly humbled and shocked, not by the Lord, but by the fact that his love for the Lord didn't measure up at all to what he expected of himself. But like all of us, we all need to know this. And he needed to know that it was the Lord's love for him that mattered and would never fail. And I feel this is such an important thing to grasp, to know and believe the love that God has for us, that no matter what, his love for us will never fail. So with the Lord Jesus being described as the brightness of the Father's glory, this is in Hebrews 1:3, it says, so with an express image of his person, everything he said and did was of the Father. I'm come to do your will, he said, so that healing the sick, raising the dead, loving and forgiving the sinner, doing good, eventually laying down his life for our sins on the cross, reveals the very great love of our Father. It reveals the heart of a Savior. This is what delights him, gives him pleasure to love, to heal. He created all the heavens and the stars, knows them all by name, but he heals the brokenhearted. And it says in another place, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That's the peace offering, is the Lamb of God for our sins. So in his prayer in John 17, when he said, I have declared to them your name, it wasn't just in word, you see, it was his very person. Everything he did just expressed the love of the Father. So we're almost finished, but I'd like to take you in a journey backwards, if you like, into the Old Testament. And we are almost finished now, but there's a few things I'd like to read. It says, if you remember how Moses' face shone, and we're thinking about glory now, and remember that all these things are recorded for our benefit as types and examples. Well, it certainly didn't happen when he went up before God and received the Ten Commandments on the first occasion. And he spent 40 days there in the presence of God. You would have thought that this would have been the time when his face would have shone after being in God's presence, but no. Let's see what happened. It's in Exodus 24:9-13. So bear with me, I'll read this. It says, where even 70 elders who were with Moses also saw God. They saw him. It says, then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. It was like the very heavens in its clarity, but on the nobles of the children of Israel, he didn't lay his hand. So they saw God and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I've written that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. He was always with him. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. I often wonder, you know, with Joshua and talking with Moses and things, if he had an insight, he knew more about God. He knew God, if you know what I mean. Not just the law, but he went after, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's carry on. Exodus, the next bit, 24, I'll skip a little bit. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And now for 40 days and nights, the Lord gave Moses all the details for the construction of the tabernacle. And that. And then suddenly it takes up the story in Exodus 32:7. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. So being sent down the mountain and finding the children of Israel worshipping a golden calf. You know, the story, in anger, he broke the first stone tablets and he removed the tabernacle outside the camp. And thereafter, he would meet with the Lord there and speak with him, but still his face didn't shine. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. So still no shine. And note that each time the Lord speaks to Moses from the cloudy pillar. And on this occasion, as he spoke with the Lord, Moses having an honest heart-to-heart with the Lord in the wake of all these recent disastrous events, and 3,000 people had died. I don't believe he's whinging. He was just being honest. And it's in Exodus 33, 12 to 19. He says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you haven't let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. And that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight.'" Verse 14. "And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.' And he said, 'Please show me your glory.' Then he said, 'I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion.'" Now, this was what stood out. Having asked to see God's glory, isn't it interesting then that God's reply to this was, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." Do you see the link? It's such a poor word, I know, but you know what I mean between God's glory and his name. Moses had asked to see God's glory, and it was God's goodness that passed before him, and his name and attributes that was proclaimed. And you're right, it sounds familiar. John 17, 26. "And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." With Moses and the glory of the law, this of course is minuscule in comparison to the glory revealed in the gospel of God's grace in Christ. Anyway, having been called up to Mount Sinai the second time, what actually took place, because it would be after this that his face shone. Exodus 34, 2 to 6. "So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you." Nobody, no Joshua this time, nobody, just you. "And let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud, so that's the same, and he stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is new. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" I'd read this before, like all of us, we've read this so many times, but I'd never seen the significance of this line, "and proclaimed the name of the Lord." A name being a description of one's nature, who they are and what they're like. And it was only after this declaration, this revelation of who God is, and it was only in part on this occasion that Moses' face shone. I remember that he'd asked, "Show me your way, that I may know you. Show me your glory." And what did the Lord do? He proclaimed his name, and then what his name means. And of course, immediately Jesus' prayer for his church springs to mind that we looked at earlier. And I've declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And do you see the parallel? The same principle at work of transformation, transfiguration, through having the name, the nature of God revealed to us, how God's glory and his name are intimately linked, so closely linked. And there's so much one could say about this. But this issue of seeing the love of God in Christ and viewing everything through the lens of his great love for us is so important for us, I believe. It's not difficult, not at all. And the gospel is all about the love of God. And Paul said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the gospel, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just as I was preparing this, just before we started, this came to mind, and I believe it was the Lord. It was the scripture. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What manner of love the Father has bestowed, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So in beholding the glory of the Lord, the great love of our Father in the gospel, we're to know in particular that his love for us is that of a father to his child. As the apple of his eye, so are we in his sight. We're deeply loved. But this passage from Ephesians is a good one to finish with, because it sums up everything we've looked at so far. It's Ephesians 2:4-8. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, all for this reason, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And even that, not of yourselves, is the gift of God. So I'll leave it there. There's one more. I'm really grateful to be able to share something, you know, and to contribute. It's important for me, and I think it's important that all the gifts and ministries operate, you know, so it's a double blessing. So I just want to, you know, just thank you, Father, you know, for all your kindness, all your goodness, Lord. I just thank you for every single member of your body, Lord. I just pray your will be done, Lord. Please have your way in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Father. Bye-bye, folks.